Guys, I got an M&M for you, a mini message. Here we go. That was funny, guys. That was M&M mini message. Come on, here we go. All right, can you open up your Bibles to John chapter 13? I just want to share these, just a mini message in the next 20 minutes. Just a quick message for you. John chapter 13, verse 1 and 5. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew, can we put that up on the screen, that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now, I want you to lean into this because he's setting the tone. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything that he had come that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped the towel around his waist, and poured out water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. I want to jump over, leapfrog over to John 13, 14, a few verses down, and it says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done for you. I want to talk to you on this topic, serve like Jesus. Look at the person next to you, tell them, serve like Jesus. Say, my goal is to serve like Jesus. I think if you know me well enough, anybody know that I love me some Red Robin. Someone shout, Red Robin. Yeah, I know. Y'all go to that place too, all right? But in Staten Island, once upon a time, there was a place called Red Robin in the Staten Island Mall, and I love me some Red Robin. All right. And one of the things I love about Red Robin, it has my favorite sandwich. And so my wife and I, after service, we would go over to the mall and we would get this sandwich. Now, what began to happen is that we began to get served by an individual. You ever had that person? That amazing creature of the Lord. And we had an individual who would serve us, but I don't know what was wrong with this person. This person was just rude to us. They would be mean to us. They would be, you know, speaking under their breath. And we would check in on them saying, are you okay? Is everything all right? And he would say everything was okay. But then he would just like continue to like the mere idea that we were asking him for maybe a refill or some dips. Come on, somebody, honey mustard in the Lord. It was just a nuisance to him. And he was just bothered. And this happened now several times. Someone shout several times. This happened several times of us going there. Apparently, we were right in the middle of his shift. And this happened several times. Now, there was this one occasion that we came to Red Robin in Staten Island before they closed down. And we saw that we were going to get served by this person. Now, when we saw that we were going to get served by this person, Lisa and I had to make a decision. All right? We had to make a decision, so we knew that we were going to get served by this person, and we looked at each other, and we were like, do you want to deal with this, or you just want to walk out and go across the street? And guess what we did? We said, you know what? Today, we may not have the emotional fortitude to be able to deal with that kind of situation, and so we pulled ourselves away. Some of you guys need to practice that in your marriage. Come on, somebody, just walk away, all right? It's like, I don't do backwards. No, but listen. And so my wife and I, we decided to walk away. Now, can I tell you, we love Red Robin. Yum. We love, as a matter of fact, if the Lord puts it in your heart to get us a gift card to Red Robin tonight, we will thank you. We love Red Robin. Now watch this. We love us some Red Robin. But we walked away from a place that we love because of the way someone served. Now, check this out. I do not like Chili's. And if you love Chili's, you can see your way out the door. No, I'm just joking. But I do not like Chili's for anything. Fajitas, I'm not with you. I do not like Chili's. Now, watch this. One time, after marriage counseling, come on, somebody. After marriage counseling, my wife and I were on our way home, and she did good in marriage counseling. She made me look good. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take you to Chili's. She's like, you behaved yourself, baby. Let's go to Chili's. And so we go to Chili's, and this guy is like giving us everything. Like, this guy is like, hey, how can I help you? How's everything? Let me recommend you this. Let me give you this. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love this guy. This guy's amazing. Then I'm like, wait a minute, is he flirting with my wife? And I'm like, maybe he's flirting with me. I don't know. But listen. So I'm like, no, this guy's service was so amazing that we were like, yo, I will travel an hour just to get any kind of recommendation. He was, let me give you this mango sauce. And he just started hooking us up. And he had great service. Now watch this. It's interesting to me. What I found there is, it's interesting to me that we can walk from a place that we love, and our minds could be changed from a place that we love because of the way someone served. Can I tell you the opposite is true? In the same way, we also wanted to go a place that we're not fond of because of the way somebody served. Can I tell you that it is also true with the church? Can it be that there are people that God is trying to draw near, but that they would walk away depending on the quality of our service? Can it be in the same way that there may be people who may not be fond of church, they may not be fond of God, it may not pique their interest, but we can change their mind, not because there's an amazing worship band, not because there's amazing singers, not because the pastor is handsome and good looking, but because there are people that are willing to serve with a heart of gratitude and a heart of service. Can someone give God a praise in this place? Can it be? And so I need you to know something about this church. I need you to know something about this church, especially maybe you've been visiting us for some time. I need you to know something about this church, that this church has a strong culture on serving people. I need you to know that about this church, because if there's something that is important to our heart, if there's something that is near and dear to us, is that we have a heart to serve other people. In fact, the reason that we worship is to worship God and lift up the name of Jesus. But part of worship is not just this act of praise that we do here in the front of the stage. Part of our worship to God is being living as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing before Him, and being the light to the world of the world around us. And so we are called to serve others. That is something that is so important to this church community. And I want to show you a few pictures here as we have a few moments of celebration. If this is what our church is about, this took place at our back to school bash, where we were able to give out over 300 backpacks. Could we praise God for that? We also have our community cleanup day, where we were able to gather over 30 bags of garbage in our community. Can we praise God for the people that serve at Christ Uncensored House of Worship? Do we have the community pictures? We have our Easter egg hunt that just took place, come on, where over 700 people we gave out over 2,000, come on somebody, we gave out over 2,000 eggs that day, and we were able to service over 700 people. I think we can praise God a little bit stronger for that, amen? Now, I want you to write this down. Our desire at Christ Uncensored is that every member will have a heart to serve. Can you put that in your notes? Our desire in this church community is that every member would have a heart to serve. I know statistically they tell me that is impossible in a church community, but I believe that God has called every member of the house to have a heart to serve. Why? Someone shout, why? Because that's the heart of God. Because God's heart is to serve. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. He says, do as I did. The Son of Man did not come to people to serve him. He came to serve others and to give his life to save many people. Look what Galatians says. It says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Look what Peter says. Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what? To serve others. And I love this picture because in John chapter 13, I want you to check this out. John chapter 13, it says, the Father had given him all authority over everything. The New King James translation, look what it says. It says, all things into his hands. And that he had come from the Lord and he would return to him. So he got up from the table and he took his robe and wrapped a towel around his waist. Now, I read that and my mind goes ahead, right? So I'm reading that. And you ever seen like that situation that's like a climactic buildup? Like it's building. And so I'm reading this and I'm saying all authority has been given. He has been given all things. Those are the hands that have power. Those are the hands that have dominion. Those are the hands that have authority. But watch what he chooses to do with those hands. I'm thinking what's about to take place is something amazing, something miraculous. But what he chooses to do with the hands of authority, with the hands of dominion, is pick up a towel. He chooses to use his authority to do what? Serve. So I want you to write this down. If we're going to serve like Jesus, Jesus understood that what God placed in his hands was not for status, but for service. I want to say that again. If your heart is here for this church community, Jesus understood that what God placed in his hands was not for status, but for service. Can I take a moment to remind us today that what God has given you, it's not for status, it's for service. That the reason you have a gift is not for status, it's for service. That the reason that God has given you that position is not for status, it's for service. That the reason that God gave you that promotion is not for status, it's for service. That the reason that you got that talent, it's not for status, it's for service. And sometimes we get confused because we think that we are being given a gift by God to make a name for ourselves, but God has given you a gift not so that we can make a name for ourselves. He has given you authority. He has given you dominion. He has given you talents. He has given you gifting so that you can be a service unto others. Amen. The reason that people were ordained today was not for status. It was for service. Number two, write this down. Jesus understood that serving will not always be convenient. It will often cost you something. Mm-hmm. Jesus understood that serving will not always be convenient. It will often cost you something. I want you to look at this verse where he says, so he got up from the table and he took off his robe. And in that time, robes were considered like this form of dignity. They were garments of dignity. And if I can use some conjecture for this moment, Jesus took off his dignity so that he can walk in humility. Jesus took off his robe so that he can be of service. This was something that was costly. This was something that was seen and revered. This was something that is important. And I think sometimes God's people get frustrated because they want to be used by God, but as long as it's convenient. You ever been there? Like I love when people are starting in ministry and they're like, God, use me. And God uses them. And they're like, God, I feel used. And I'm like, welcome to ministry. So often, we want God to use us. We want God to use us in service, but we are only willing to do what's convenient. But we have to understand that if we are going to serve the way Jesus did, and if we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we have to understand that often what God has called us to do will not fit the agenda that you planned for. I always say to people, like, if you got plans and you're a God-fearing person, put an asterisk next to it. And the asterisk should bring you down to a footnote. And the footnote should say, unless God thinks otherwise. Come on, how many know Jonah had plans? Asterisk. Jeremiah had plans, asterisk. Gideon had plans, asterisk. And his plans were changed because God had a greater purpose to fulfill. And so often we want to do the simple thing when God is calling us to do the hard thing. We want to do the prestigious thing when God has called us to do the lowly thing. We want to do the thing that shows off our talent when God is calling us to pick up a towel. It's often I say, like, you got to pick up a towel before you pick up a mic. Mm-hmm. Because if serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. And if we're too big-headed to serve, we may be too small-handed to receive everything that God has for us. So Jesus understood that serving will not always be convenient. It will often cost you something. Let me give you the last point in this mini sermon that I gave you, and I'm on time. I got 4 minutes and 30 seconds as our worship team comes back on stage. I want you to write this down. Jesus understood that serving was not a burden, but a blessing. Now, this is powerful because what happens is that is the moment you begin to walk in your calling, the moment you begin to walk in your purpose. By the way, you have to understand that if you don't know what your purpose is, you have to really understand that purpose is found in the pocket of serving. So you'll never find your purpose unless you start serving. Because what God has gifted you, what God has given you is not for you, it's for somebody else. The gift, I love when, you know, sometimes we talk about our talent. No, the reason that God has given you a talent and a gift is so that you can be a blessing, not to yourself, but that you can be a blessing to somebody else. And so what happens is that the moment that we begin to see that serving is not convenient and serving will cost us something, somebody say cost you something. When we see that serving will cost us something, what begins to happen is that the enemy begins to whisper in our ear, it's burdensome. Oh, this is a burden. Why are you taking on more than what you should? You could be doing something else with your time. You could be relaxing. You can be doing whatever you want. And God is saying, the way Jesus saw service was that it wasn't a burden, but it was a blessing. I want to read to you verse 14. It says, so if I'm your teacher and Lord and have just washed your dirty feet, come on, somebody, Jesus didn't pull no punches, then you should follow the example that I have set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Now do for each other what I have just done for you. I speak to you a timeless truth that a servant is not superior to his master. And an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. So now put into practice what I have done for you. Hear this. And you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings. That the key to your happiness, the key to the abundant life, the key to feeling fulfilled is found in serving. So Jesus is getting closer and closer to his death. He has about 24 hours to live, and he reveals this powerful truth. He's saying, listen, you're not going to experience freedom, and you're not going to experience fulfillment, and you're not going to experience abundance in just getting more and doing more and being more active. No, you need to learn how to be of service to someone else other than yourself. Jesus says this. He says, what I have done for you, do it unto others. What I have done to you, doing unto others. Because true greatness and true happiness and true fulfillment, it's found in serving. And what he does is that he says, I'm going to use my authority. I'm going to use my power. I'm going to use my dominion. And I'm going to pick up a towel. And I think that this world will be a better place if God's people learned how to pick up towels, that before we picked up a mic, that before we picked up an instrument, that before we picked up anything that would shine our gift, that we would just pick up a towel. And so today I want to, as an act of what Jesus modeled for us, many scholars believe that this is the third sacrament, that it's not just Holy Communion, that it's not just marriage, that it's not just baptism, but it's also the washing of feet, because this is something that took place 24 hours before Jesus was crucified. Can I tell you who was in that fold? Judas. I think sometimes we have a hard time washing the proverbial feet of people that we love, let alone people that are ready to do us wrong. And I could imagine Jesus picking up his towel. John. Lucas. And I can imagine Jesus saying, Peter, you remember that time that you were having that argument with all the disciples about who was the greatest in the kingdom? You remember when you guys were fighting about it and you'd be like, yo, who's the greatest? Like, I performed a lot of miracles. Oh, did you see how many demons I casted out of that person? I'm great. Yeah, but I walked on water. I'm great. He says, what's greatness in the kingdom? The greatest one in the kingdom is the one that's willing to give up his life for his friends. That the greatest in the kingdom is the one that is willing to serve. Discourage greatness. He didn't say, you shouldn't even be thinking about greatness. How dare you think about greatness? Greatness is something that you shouldn't even have in your vocabulary. No. He actually says you should be thinking about greatness. The problem is that you have the wrong path to get there. Think greatness is about acknowledgement and prestige and being recognized, but greatness is about serving. What Jesus begins to do is take the most lowly position of a person in the household. Can I tell you what he does? The people that washed feet in the Bible were the people that were sold to slavery, or people that gave themselves to pay off a debt. Those were the people that washed feet. And what Jesus does, all this authority has been given to me. All dominion. So I'm going to pick up a towel. Says, Peter, you know why? Do you know why you can be great? For that matter, do you know why anyone could be great? Church, you could all be great. The reason that you can be great The reason that you can be great is because anyone could serve. You want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom? The one who is willing to serve. You want to know what the key to happiness is? Serving. And sometimes we're walking around life miserable and burdened with angst and anxiety because in our own minds we have crowned something to be valuable to give us happiness. And Jesus says, the happiest you will ever be is when you realize that your life is for somebody else. Anyone can be great because anyone can serve. Can we give God a praise in this place? Before we close out and pray, I want to give you just a few what ifs here. Just a few next steps. Can you put that up on the screen? Here's what I want you to do for the next few weeks. I want you to pray about starting Growth Track on May 5th. Truly, if you're part of this church community, I want you to pray about starting Growth Track May 5th. And I want you to consider signing up to serve on a team at least once a month. Can you imagine what God can do with hands that would use what God has given you to be a blessing and a gift to somebody else? So what if, you put the next slide. Well, I want to ask us this question. What if everyone at Kuhau came every Sunday faithfully? It's just what if, what if? What if everyone at Kuhau said that we're going to make 4 p.m. service on a Sunday our priority? Can I give you the answer? We would have to expand and start a second service because we would have too many people in one service, which means that there's more people that God wants to reach, that God wants to love. Reuben preached it last week. The harvest is ready, but are we willing? What if everyone at Kuhau served 2 Sundays a month? Minimum 1 Sunday, but what would happen if everybody said, you know what? I'm going to take 1 Sunday and I'm going to make that Sunday not about me. I'm going to make it about somebody else. You know, there's people from 1 p.m. here setting up and connecting everything together so that we can have a 4 p.m. service. And so if everyone at Kuhau served at least 2 Sundays out of the month, we would be able to serve more people in our community and create an additional second service. We would develop more leaders to lead our church. Everyone could be great because everyone can lead. Let me give you the last one. Do we have the last one? Is that it? The last one was, what if everyone was part of a community group? If everyone at Christ Uncensored was part of a community group, do you know what would happen? We would have 100% of our church experiencing freedom in the context of relationships. Can you stand up on your feet? Thank you, Jesus. On May 5th, we're going to be kind of relaunching Growth Track. And so on May 5th, we're going to have most of our dream team members that are going to be part of Growth Track just to get refreshed. And so we want you to start not next Sunday, but 2 Sundays from now at our Growth Track on Class 1 and be part of the experience that gets you to start serving. Amen. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be in this church. Start serving your community. Yeah. Serving is not just here on a Sunday. Start serving other people. Start loving on people. Yes. Yes. Take some time out of your day and you'll see what begins to happen to your heart. You start going, man, I'm so stressed, to man, like I'm so blessed. Man, I just feel overwhelmed, to man, I feel so amazing. Amen? Can you bow your head, close your eyes? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you are doing in this house. We thank you, Lord God, that today you reminded us that everyone here could be great because everyone can serve. I pray that we may have the heart of your son, Jesus. That he said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Lord, that we may begin in that journey today. And if you're in this place and you've never heard of Jesus, or maybe you have and you want a relationship with him, can I just tell you that he served you already, salvation, and he just says, would you receive it? And if that's you in this place, I just want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I receive your love. So I surrender my life. That's it. That's it. Just a one sentence prayer. I receive your love, so I surrender my life. Everything else will continue to be a conversation between you and God. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.